welcome to It's All Chaos, a podcast about two best friends who are navigating the ups and downs of working full-time,
running their own businesses,
blending families,
and taking on Nana duties.
Join us for our Becoming Sister Wives book club and Sister Wives rewatch.
And the challenging day-to-day events that just prove that every day, all day,
it's all chaos.
Welcome to episode 23 of the It's All Chaos podcast. I'm Tracy.
I'm Jill.
And I'm Alex.
And we are here with season one of the Sister Wives rewatch. Episodes 2 and 3 is what we're covering today. And
that's
the reason
right.
we're doing that is because we didn't realize we had flipped over into 3 from 2. So we're not exactly sure where it ends in our notes.
Right, because they were only half-hour episodes, and we're used to, like, you know, half-hour, no commercial episodes, and we're used to, like, the hour-long episodes with no commercials, and so we didn't realize that we had watched 2 episodes.
Until number 4 showed up, and we're like, wait,
did we
miss an episode?
What happened?
We totally missed the intro in between.
Yeah, we did it.
So anyways, we're going to do them both, but I have a lot of notes, so we'll see how quickly we get through all of this, but you'll get it all today. And then next episode, we're going to go back to book.
Yep.
I'm excited to keep reading.
Me too.
All right, so we'll do the next chapter of the book. We'll look it up in a second just so we can tell you what it is so we'll be prepared. But so season 1, episode 2, titled Courting a Fourth Wife. This is where we're going to meet Robin.
Yep.
For the very first time. Obviously,
and the cries
begin. She was teased a little bit. It was. I marked down 18 minutes into the episode, Robin has her first cry. And I'll just jump to it because I actually wrote it at the top.
I love how you wrote the time.
I did. 18 minutes in, Robin's first cry, so happy to see her kids embraced by family.
All right. I did not write down what the cry was about.
Moving.
I just put a yes next to the number 2 and a yes next to number 3. So apparently there's
so
crying.
So she cries again.
Well, just...
Don't worry. I think she probably cries again in this same episode.
Jill might have a timestamp. That's the only cry.
Oh.
Because
I
have episode 3. Robin has her second cry, third cry, and fourth cry.
Oh,
oh my gosh.
Man, Jill is really tallying these cries
for us.
I'm
down on the cry count.
She's got those statistics.
Can you imagine
down.
I don't have the time
if we get
those,
all the way to the end and you have got a running tally
472
of cries.
This is her 5,000 cries because
we've 5,342 cries.
Well, we are not going to distinguish real cries from fake cries because that's too
cries a cry. Yeah.
If she looks like she's supposed to be crying,
it
counts.
If it looks like she's rubbing, you know, hot sauce in her eyes, we're going with it. So
it's castor oil.
The first thing that I wrote down that Christine said in episode 2 that like something that really struck me because a lot of it to me was a lot of this and that and shit and chat.
Yeah,
and I know Jill wrote down a lot more, so maybe I'll have more to say on that. But the first thing that really struck me was when Christine said, "You are replacing your family with Robin and her kids."
Wow,
that was episode 2.
She said that when
in episode 2.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I know in episode 2, I meant like when in the episode, because I don't remember her saying that. But
I'm looking ahead in all of my notes to see if I wrote that down.
But she, I'm trying to remember exactly when she said it because we've watched it a while ago. But I want to say it had something to do with Robin
He's
and the kids were being put into the other house and he was spending more time getting that ready and more focus
that's
on
that's the
that.
Third episode. So yeah, we're not there. So yeah, this
but that was what I wrote down.
So okay, so my notes start with. The statement was made that there was a 6 to
maybe
7.
Maybe I didn't write anything in episode 2.
Maybe
this
it was
episode 3.
Maybe it
was a yawner for me in episode 2. I don't
right,
know.
You just were or just eating it all up.
Yeah. So we'll
so,
bounce
we'll
off
let,
of
we'll
Jill
let Jill
then.
Start. Yeah.
Okay.
Go Jill.
Well,
go Jill.
I wrote down that there was a 6 to 7 year learning curve to get the wives to the place where they were.
Oh yeah, they did say that.
Okay. So we know that, you know, they talk about it a lot that there were bumps and curves
yeah.
and whatever in the road, and it was said in the first episode that they started to feel like
I think
you
we're
know,
gonna hear about that in the book
right.
piece coming up.
Yeah, for sure. But you know, that they were kind of feeling like maybe something was coming and that they had kind of gotten into such a groove that things were almost a little boring. So Robin lives hours away, and then I wrote after the end because then they finally said it. 5 hours, 300 miles. That's how far away she lived. And I'm thinking, I'm driving to California
because she
on
lived,
Friday.
Because she lived in St. George.
And that's a 6 hour drive.
And they
drive.
Lived in Salt Lake, right? And she
yeah.
lived in St. George.
Is that
George?
About what that
yeah.
is? 5 hours?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think it was St. George, yeah. So you got to think that when he wanted to go see her, It was 5 hours, and he was taking a wife for a couple of kids, mostly girls, because they were babysitting her kids. Yeah, I think
it kind of sounded like he started off those trips, because we didn't see them all, but it sounded like he started off bringing wives, and then eventually, sometimes the wives couldn't go, and so then he would bring a couple of his older kids.
Yeah, yes. Older daughters, because I remember Robin's kids asking, oh, which mom is coming time? And then she said, oh. Which mom is
coming? They were singing a song.
And then, so then she said, oh, a mom isn't coming this time. These two girls are coming.
Yeah. So then I wrote, this is from Robin. I am working and curating a safe environment for my kids. And she says that a couple of times about how, you know, her kind of goal was just safety and security for her kids. So things weren't unstable and everything else. So, but I thought it was important. I even underlined working. She was working because I think it's well known because that
later on she's not.
I did write down just a thought, and I don't know if it was just over the episodes in general, but it said, why is part of the courting not the wives going out with Robin?
Well, like without Cody?
Yeah, maybe just to get to know her.
Like as a sister wife courting date.
Okay, so we're also obviously watching real time stuff, and we've just had talkbacks and lookbacks. And in the look back, it wasn't like it. The talkbacks are a full episode and they respond to it.
But they should be called sassbacks.
Right, yeah. Well, yeah, that's all right.
Well, talkbacks, sassbacks.
The lookbacks, though, basically they're being handed an iPad with an X amount of clips on it, and then they show them all the clips at that time.
And then they ask,
right,
what do you think about this?
Yeah, how do you feel about that clip, or what does that make you think, or whatever. And, you know, the one that, like, I was actually rewatching today to take notes, but they're showing the scene where Robin and Mary were sitting outside of the McMansion, the Shira Chateau.
Yeah.
And, basically Robin's like, were there things I didn't know about? Like, I wonder if, you know, there were underlying things.
With Christine and Cody, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, and then other things,
like, were there things going on in the family that I didn't know about?
Right. Yeah. So then they flash to Christine, because this is real-time Christine watching that conversation. Right. And Christine said, Robin and I had many talks during the courting process. She absolutely knew about all of the struggles that Cody and I had at the time. And then she also knew about the issues that Mary was having. So they didn't say anything about Janelle, but basically they're saying,
but again,
no, there wasn't things that she didn't know. Janelle
already had all of her children. They were raising the children. So where she was with Cody, she was good.
I honestly feel like she has been good with Cody the most. Well, other than Robin, because Robin is, you know, whatever.
Pick him over her kids.
Over her boys. Right. In a situation where I feel like he was most certainly in the wrong in whatever the shenanigans was.
Right.
So, yeah. So that would make sense that she wouldn't have information on that. But
so here's the next sentence I wrote down. Cody is going for 3 days to see Robin. Wives sad.
Yeah, they were.
And then the next line I wrote, Cody spends time saying goodbye to all the wives and all the kids.
Individually.
From room to room to room. And he's hugging wives as he sees them. He's talking to kids. He's saying goodbye.
He's getting the ones packed up for a few days.
That's right. And again, I'm sitting here because these are, again, the things I think was very interesting
because we were seeing in there, and we see it through episode 2 and 3 because it kind of crosses over. But he is having very good relationships with his teenage daughters, and those seem to fall apart.
Oh, crumble.
Like, yeah, 100%.
But it's not just his daughters.
But even with the boys.
I mean, yeah. Let's be really honest, okay? Right now, really truthfully, except the children in Robin's home, who is he on good terms with?
Who is he on good terms with?
Yeah, everybody. Probably none of them.
You mean...
No.
No.
Oh, you mean now.
Right now. Like, today. None of them.
No, none.
Is there one child that was not born to Robin?
I think
Tony and McKelty might be the closest.
That's what I was going to say. They'd be the closest because McKelty had this bond with Robin.
I'm
going to
say Truly is still giving him Grace. Because she's young, and that's because Grace is her middle name.
Yeah.
And she doesn't, like, you know, because she was so, she was born after Robin was there, she doesn't really know him separate from how he's always been with Robin.
That is a very interesting point. Yeah. I mean, whereas all the other kids simultaneous Truly never knew anything different.
Right.
Again.
And what was the gap between her and then the next
Solomon? Solomon was what?
No, not Solomon, the other way. Who was right before Truly?
Oh.
Savannah. Okay. I believe Savannah was the baby.
And that's several years.
Yeah.
Right?
I want to say Savannah was 5 Yes. Yeah, for sure. And, you know, again, we're talking past, present, and future.
Yeah, I don't remember if the book had that kind of age list or anything that we, you know.
Not that we've gotten to.
I have watched part one of the wedding. Have you watched part one of the wedding?
Yes. I've only watched the first 15 minutes because my husband, I was like, I'm not going to make him watch it because.
That's funny. I made Casey watch it. Well,
because he has only started like seeing Sister Wives with me in the post-COVID era, mm-hmm. which frames Christine specifically, I feel like, in kind of a negative light, if you haven't seen her whole story coming from the beginning to now, and especially in his eyes, and he can't stand Christine, and so I was like, he doesn't care about her happiness in her wedding, and so I was like, I'm not going to make you watch her wedding episode, so I turned it off.
Yeah.
Because then I don't want to listen to his sassy comments while I'm trying to enjoy it. Because I'm trying to enjoy it, and he's being sassy.
So I don't think it's too much of a spoiler for you or whatever else, but there's this conversation between Christine and Truly.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, again, something that I've kind of gathered between the podcast and the Reddits I listen to, that everybody's like, it was fast for David and Christine. They were They were together for 4 months before they got engaged.
Yeah.
And then it was 11 months to their wedding, which was really funny because McKelty and Tony, who were given so much crap about their wedding and told to push it out, push out, push out, they were like, under a year, we really think you should have been... Like, you need to wait a year. Maybe we should push the wedding to
Christine
December.
Was like, I told all my kids that it was 12 months, but really it was 11.
Well, and, and the thing is, though, like, they're at the age that they are in their life, like, you kind of, when you know,
that was
especially
like
as the older
like,
you get.
Wow, Golden Bachelor, they're getting married fast. I'm like, they're in their 60s.
No,
like,
70s.
They
know.
For 70s.
Like, they're in their 70s.
I mean,
the thing is, if they got 10 good years left,
you don't wait 2 years for something like that.
No. And like you said, there's a lot of difference about people at that age and what they've decided and what they know about each other and themselves and what they're willing to discuss and all of those things.
Exactly. They discuss things way earlier.
But what I was bringing up is the conversation between Christine and Truly, and Christine says, so are you, you know, like kind of excited? You know, yeah, but maybe a little nervous. And Christine says, I'm nervous too.
Oh, that was in the beginning part. So I saw that. I saw that.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, you did see that.
And then she asked about living with
them all the
time. So
then she says, well, then maybe I'm a lot of nervous.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And then Christine says, you know, because I'm nervous too because I've never lived with a husband full time.
Yeah, it's kind of weird having a man here all the time.
I haven't had a man, you know, a dad here all the time.
It's kind of weird, isn't it?
Casey, like, I was watching it. When Casey walked in and he heard that and he's like, that's really sad. It is.
It is. But that was the lifestyle that they had.
The reason I brought that up is the
fact
that
you just said. But it's also no different than divorce. I mean, kids can thrive in that. It's just.
Of course.
And again, and at least they were in the same house.
Yeah.
Originally. Sure. They were all in the same house.
But again, my point being, though, is that Truly never knew anything different than
living separate.
Than not only living separate, but also him being at Robin's a lot.
Right.
Not being there a lot.
Right.
It would have been 1 in 3 and she would have seen him in the house consistently.
Right.
And now, her parents struggling.
Now, even if there was a true rotation, it would be 1 in 4.
Right.
And
so it would be less often.
You wouldn't see him in between because that was a problem. Is the second they moved to Vegas,
they were all over the place until the cul-de-sac.
You couldn't say goodbye to everybody.
You had a much better chance,
you know,
in the cul-de-sac.
Yeah,
you
the
did.
Cul-de-sac,
but
absolutely.
When they first moved to Vegas for the first like what year and a half or so, they were living in those four houses all over the place or 2 years.
Yep. That's crazy. All right. So he says goodbye to all the wives and the kids, and then I put Christine is really not happy that he's leaving for that period of time, and she's very preggo.
Yeah, so like,
and I'm thinking,
I mean, understandable.
He's going 5 hours away, and
like,
I mean,
what
I don't
is
know
what if she
is,
went
but,
into labor?
But you're,
and he's five
you're
hours
also
away.
Very more emotional.
Oh,
right?
100%.
Yeah,
and Christine is older. This is, you know, I mean, obviously, so many years between Isabel and Truly. So she hadn't had a baby in a while. Who knows how her body's going to function round 2, you know, or round 6.
Right.
So Cody takes Maddie and Aspen with him to see Robin. They're kind of rearranging Christine's master bedroom to make room for the crib to be in there for when Truly comes. And the wives are kind of all having a conversation. We get along well now because we've worked through our issues. New wife means new adjustments.
Yeah.
And so they're talking about it. And it, to me, it feels like they're open and
they were talking about it kind of in a positive way.
Yeah.
They're like, there's going to be adjustments, but like we got through it before.
Yeah.
We can get through it again.
And again, it was said Cody never would have dated Robin if they wouldn't have all been on board, and they were all on board, and although they might have hesitancy.
I hate to throw too much in because I don't know where it came from, but I have that Cody saying at some point during this that it's not all rainbows and flowers, and I love how he messes up
common phrases all the time
instead of rainbows and unicorns, but it's not all rainbows and flowers. And there's beer and Skittles, right? And there is no way around Robin hurting the others, because there's going to be some level of hurt that comes with just her joining the family.
But that would have been with anybody joining the family, not even specifically that it was Robin with the soulmate factor and whatever.
Right, correct.
Whatever the case is.
So Christine says, "I totally felt like I lost my best friend. Christine was the last to meet her. Mary and Cody were already feeling a calling that Robin was supposed to be in the family."
And that's when I noted that Christine said she hadn't even met Robin or seen her yet, when Mary and Janelle were both feeling the feelings.
Right.
And that maybe that's because she was pregnant, and so she wasn't going out to the dances.
The parties or the gatherings.
I mean, that makes sense.
So now we've done the drive, and I have Robin sees Cody for what he is because of his wives. She even makes the comment, like, "I should thank them for making him a good man, because the man he is today is thanks to his wives."
I wrote down exactly what she said. "A man is who he is because of his family. They made him a good man." She was talking about the OG wives, three. Right.
Oh, yeah.
And so now she's taken off with this one.
I think she did come in with good intentions.
Have there been any, like, first wives, second wives, where men have gone on to the other ones and you're like, "Good thing I trained him up well for her."
Right.
Great.
Right.
I mean, not that they all get, you know, corrected or that they all feel that way. But there have been, you know, I've had a couple of friends that you're like, the only way he's doing, the reason he's doing all that nice stuff that I'm seeing him do is because he didn't do it before me.
Right.
We had to work that part out. And now he's handing all of those things to you.
Which is some of the hurt that's going to come. From that, but I mean, you could say the same thing for like a man who's been divorced and he's like, "Okay, well, I know how I really screwed up the last time, so I'm not going to do that this next time."
Right.
And then you look back and you're like, "Oh, good. Now the ex-wife got him trained up to be, I got him trained up to be good for you. That's awesome. And now I'm husbandless and you have the husband I always wanted."
Or whatever, right? Yeah. Y'all know that, you know, we talked about it in our last episode a little bit about us or whatever, but I'm, you know, in a second marriage and my husband brought 5 kids and it's very important to me, church, that I go to church on Sunday. And my husband was raised Mormon, but you know, he sees a Christian faith and Mormon faith as being similar enough that he's willing to go to church, and anything is good for the kids because in his previous marriage they did nothing. So he's, you know, he goes and all that's good. But as we first started dating, and then once we got engaged and we moved in together and planning the wedding, and the kids were there and we would go every Sunday, there was some hurt feelings, and especially the oldest kind of was a bit of a jerk one day. And then so Casey kind of pulled him aside and was like, "Dude, what prompted all of this or whatever else?" And they kind of had a long talk, but he basically said, "Mom used to say all the time about how you wouldn't even go to church with her," which is such a stretch because, from what I'm told, it was the rare suggestion that they would ever go to church on a Sunday. But nonetheless, and then me and Casey are holding hands in church.
But then
and
he's working.
You
he's,
never
he
held
was working
mom's
that
hand.
Night job on and, Saturday
well,
night
yes.
until 2,
he
3 in the morning.
He was working the nightclub until 3 in the morning. And
doing
then
the bouncing.
And
then, let's
home.
Get up at 7 a.m. to go to church.
Right, exactly. I mean, and
then work Monday through Friday.
Because by the time he would come home, like shower, get to sleep, it's going to be like 4 or 5 in the morning.
Right, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Like 2 hours later, wake up, go to church. No,
so,
thanks.
I mean, and
and I also am a church goer on Sunday, but if I only had two hours of sleep, I'd be watching YouTube church.
Right. Well, yeah. and I mean, that happened a couple of weeks ago. Like we knew, and I was like, we had a long day, and you know, I was like, I'm gonna watch church on TV.
See,
it's just
God created YouTube for church to be on it, so it's okay.
Right. But the thing is, and this is something that, you know, I kind of always vowed after my first husband, because we said that we would church, and that was a plan for us to church, and we had no kids, so there wasn't an ancillary reason. It was just us, and I went to church a lot by myself, and I chose not to go to church a lot because I was waiting for him to join me, and he wouldn't, and then I would be disappointed. So I had kind of vowed that I didn't need him to go to church with me. So when I, you know, got my new relationship, we talked about religion when we were dating and what we wanted it to be. And he said he was willing to go. And I said, that's great. And he's like, it's not like it can hurt for the kids. And I was like, nope, that's true too. So, you know, I mean, if they pick up a little bit of good ideas and choices,
pick up some Jesus,
then,
that would be okay.
Yeah, that's fine. So, but anyways, I think about that and the fact that the kids were kind of like, you know, mom wished that you would have done that and now you're doing it with Jill. And Casey did make the comment that you just said, you know, there's no denying that there's two people at the fault of a marriage dying. You know, is you can place the blame higher on one side or the other, but he said, could I have done things differently to make things better in our relationship? And I'm looking back and realizing there I probably could have.
Sure.
So this is important to my wife.
Yeah.
So I'm doing it because right now it's important that we set those grounds.
And I want to make, I want to do better for myself
right.
and better for
right.
the situation.
I don't want this,
like,
there's
no reason
to
repeat
right.
the cycles if you can figure
right.
out some things
so
that maybe you could improve.
So it's not the fault of the other one.
No,
but
no, yeah.
Now I'm going to jump into something that my mom said early on when I was younger and maybe even just started dating. When you find that guy, you and me together, we're going to train him up because when he's in that puppy dog love stage and I'll do anything for you, honey bunny, that's when you say, I cooked, you clean.
Yeah.
You do the dishes because I made the dinner. Or you set
yeah.
some of those things up that, like, you know, I'm doing the floors while you mow the lawn or whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
She's like, you get those things down right now. So it
because
is
then it becomes
a
habit.
A yep.
And
yep,
so
yep.
then when they're no longer in
yeah.
the honey bunny, oh, yes, anything, dear. Then it's
right.
like, well, this is what I've always done. So this is what I do.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah,
hey,
totally.
You're doing this. I'm doing that. So
totally.
Anyways, I don't think Robin's far off, and I don't think it's disrespectful to say that, you know, there's been growing pains with the wives, and now she's got this kind of
she's kind of reaping the benefits of
dad
that.
Man. Yeah.
But
so.
She's also coming to the into this as a second marriage.
Yeah.
So I feel like her expectations are probably going to be higher in those areas, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
Especially if those were things that were
yeah.
sticking points for her in round one.
Right, totally.
Yeah. So, jumping down, so Robin... oh, we said that. Okay. Robin wants to thank the wives for helping him become the man that he has become. Cody is my soulmate. She's giddy.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And she's laughing on
she's
the screen.
Like, I just
and she
love
says,
him.
I just love him. He's my soulmate. And I'm sitting here thinking.
Didn't she tear up in this moment, too?
At this point.
Did she not? You said she only cried once, but I feel like she got
teary. It might have been this
but maybe it wasn't cry enough.
It might have been this conversation
is
that
when
she
it
then
happened.
Made that
when,
statement.
Oh, when she cried. Okay.
That. She was just so happy to see the kids embraced by family because Aspen was there and McKelty, I think,
yeah.
was there too. So
wasn't
I wrote
McKelty?
It down somewhere. I wrote it down.
It was,
a
blonde.
Oh, Maddie.
Maddie
and Aspen.
I was like, there was a blonde. Mm-hmm. And then, oh, yeah, and then Maddie.
So, yep, Aspen. So, I wrote this down and I'm just laughing as I read it out loud. They're on their date, so the girls are at home with the kids. They're
oh,
on
yeah.
their date, and Cody was drinking water with several lemons in it. So it started way back then.
The lemons
he was,
only get more
that's right.
plentiful.
That's right.
As
he
they
was
go on.
Even way back
oh.
then, he was cheaping out his
is this,
dinner bill by not paying for soda.
Is this the moment when we can talk about that he was wearing a wedding ring?
Oh, yes. He absolutely was wearing
sure.
because, a wedding ring.
Because there was in. Was it. What was it in where they said she that he wasn't was it it was in one
was
of the
tell all.
In a tell all episode
yep.
where she said he wasn't wearing a ring because the melting of the ring had already happened
mm-hmm.
of the ring he got from Mary it already happened he wasn't even wearing a wedding ring in this first episode the first time we're meeting
yeah,
Robin
second episode, yeah,
second
first
episode
one with Robin, yeah.
first one with Robin they're out on a date for this dinner and you can clearly see that he is wearing the wedding ring on his finger.
Yep.
So it was not melted down yet
nope.
before she came into the picture.
For sure.
So I just, that was a thing I was like, I need to remember.
This brings me to thinking that we need somebody to put in the time and the effort. I don't have that time and effort, but somebody needs to do it for people like me because I buy it. I need an encyclopedia of lies. All of the things that they're
or
saying.
Truth and lies.
This, that they're saying
fact
now.
Fact checker
I need
book.
Somebody to, yeah, fact check
Sister
back,
Wives fact check.
Like on the ring or like. Robin not remembering she took the personality test that clearly everybody remembers taking it because they
and there's literally
her about hers.
There's literally episode footage of her doing said personality test.
But she doesn't remember?
Yeah. It
where
might
did,
not
where
be
did
as
that go?
It might not be as convenient as a book, but I think you can search that on Reddit.
Oh, well.
Jill's deep in the Reddit. Jill is our fact checker.
Jill is our Reddit person. I mean, I've done very little in Reddit. I find Reddit a little bit confusing to follow. So
it's just a chat thing. But that's it.
But it's because I haven't been in there.
It's all chaos.
But if you want to write that, it is. Sorry if you're hearing a little bit of crunch in the background. We have a new puppy, and he is decided that now would be the time to have some kibbles.
That's right. That's how puppy life goes around here. But basically, Cody ends the episode, or the episode ends, with Cody and Robin being interviewed outside of this restaurant. And Cody says, "I am in love with Robin, but that does not diminish my feelings, the feelings of love for my other four wives."
Other three.
Three wives. What did I write down? I can't read my rotten over here.
My 82
wives. Doesn't diminish. I
basically
love for my other wives.
Basically, for whatever, however many wives he's got, it doesn't diminish the love for any of those others.
Right.
This love he has for Robin.
He can love there's them some all. Hiding in the background somewhere.
Can we fact check this one? Right. Because I feel like
I think we need to read.
Maybe
book.
It shows.
Maybe there were some diminished.
That it changes.
Yeah.
That it does diminish.
Are you still on episode 2, Jill?
Yeah, we are.
I like I said, I don't know where mine are. So.
Yep. That was the last thing.
We were
at
the end of episode 2.
That was how that episode ended with
now Jill's
outside
ready
the restaurant.
For episode 3.
I'm ready.
So one of the things I have written, which I'm assuming came in episode 3, is Christine saying that she is afraid of being replaced as the sweet companion. Because apparently of the three of the OGs, she was the one that he considered so sweet and the one that he would do the sweet things with. With Mary and Janelle, it must have been much more
like
business oriented,
or like,
and he was already kind of on the outs with Mary, is what we're hearing.
Yeah. Or kind of like, and then him and Janelle, I think, did more.
Because that ring was a figment of imagination. It was
Marion. I feel like Marion and Cody did some more like adventure-y things when they did do stuff. They like went out and did things.
But we knew from the book. But yeah, that the sweet is why he liked her.
Right. He liked that she was sweet and kind and fun.
Right.
She wanted to be the CEO of fun.
So.
Yeah.
The CEO of fun. Now, in there, Janelle had also said that the time during this courting and things, that the time was unbalanced, and even maybe between the original three, but she thinks that will even out.
Right. And I think there
it did
that,
not.
Like, yeah, no, obviously it did not, but there's Janelle calling it out right there. But season one, episode 3 is called Wives on the Move. It's funny that it's wives on the move when one wife is moving. It's basically the moving
That's
Robin.
That's because weren't they all helping move her? Right?
Yeah, they were, yes. But it's basically the moving Robin
We also know that their episode names are not always the best.
They're like
moving
clickbait.
Her to Lehigh. So there is this scene where you have some of the Brown older girls sitting and talking. Specifically, Maddie and Aspen are talking about how Robin is currently 29. And then they're joking about, she could be my sister. I think that's a little far-fetched because at this point in time, I think Aspen was the oldest and she was 15.
I mean, they would have been younger kids in their family.
Yeah,
right.
Like their age difference from Truly.
Yeah, that part is 100% true. But in their family.
In their family.
Right. In other polygamous families, for sure.
Right.
And then flash forward to Christine, who is very pregnant at 37, having Truly. So there is quite a gap.
Years?
Yeah. 8 years between Robin and
Christine. And I didn't even realize there was that big of an age difference, honestly. I never figured that out or put that together. And looking at them now.
Yeah.
They do not look like they are that far apart in age. Like,
no, because
this marriage has done a turn
has
on
the,
Robin's
the family
physical.
Not aged well, but Robin has.
She specifically has not aged well.
She's living with anger
all the time.
24/7.
Oh, yep. Yeah.
I mean, that has got to suck the life
out of you. Oh, yeah. I mean, and it looks like it sucked the life out of her.
Right.
And then, oh my God, her eyebrows. Can we talk about the eyebrows?
Which ones?
The ones that.
I mean,
that Robin's that the that
They've
they do
faces.
For but the eyebrows specifically that they have done ever since they're not on the couches together, but they do the individuals, the makeup people, whatever they do to her eyebrows when she is giving like
I think they do that.
Her info she does that because her eyebrows
really
don't
do.
Always look like that.
Yeah.
But sometimes I'm just like it looks like they're just so bad.
Yep.
Anyways.
But paint it on because that was a running gag in the show.
They're just so bad her eyebrows.
Yep. Right. So the kids are continuing to
Maybe
talk about
stamps.
Yeah, right?
With the little thing.
Right?
Oh, maybe.
It's either that or the stencil.
Oh, yeah. You know, it probably is a stencil.
That is funny.
Now that you say that, I see it.
So basically, like, Cody had asked the girls to help plan a birthday party for her. So she was 29, but she is going to be 30. So by the time they're moving things along, they're only 7 years apart. But the kids are currently saying that, you know, they kind of see how she could be a really cool friend, but they know that in the future they're going to have to look at her like a mom and have to respond to her like a mom. So Robin is play cultural. Oh, she was married before, has three kids. These are the kind of giving her background. She is from the polygamous culture, but was the only wife in her first marriage. Devastating to Christine that Robbie and Cody kissed as they were engaged. So apparently we are hearing the announcement of their engagement, which I guess is why she's moving. So we had episode one where we didn't see Robin at all. We didn't even know about her.
Right.
There's the tease of we've got a big announcement. News. Right.
And then we're really excited.
Do y'all remember news. Robin? Well, what if we start courting her?
Yeah, okay. It was really fast.
Like, episode two.
Like, how long did you court for?
We saw them one date.
Did it say in the book how long they courted
4 months.
For?
I'm pretty sure if I remember the timeline of everything correctly. Okay. Oh, no, that was Christine and David. They were together for 4 months.
I'd have to look back in the book.
God, it sounds familiar.
Maybe we'll check it for next time. Maybe we'll be able to update on that. But I can't remember how long they courted. But I feel like we saw none of that.
Right. Literally, we saw one date.
Right.
And then in this episode here, we see
them. And
they
was already in love.
Right. Remember, was it the second episode? Like I said, it wasn't their first date. It's the first date we see. But he says, it was this first one that he said, I wanted to get you something, you know, and then he has this ring that's made out of string that Maddie had made. And then she was like, oh, I love it. It's great. Blah, blah, blah. So I wonder, even though he didn't say, like, will you marry me or anything like that, I wonder if that's when they, like, labeled it. Because now, all of a sudden, she's moving to Lehigh, and we know that they're engaged. Right. And we find out that...
It was not a wedding ring, but more than a promise ring. Not an engagement ring, but more than a promise.
But what we're finding out is that once Cody said, will you marry me? And she said yes, Cody immediately kissed her. And that was the first time that they had kissed, and that upset Christine a lot.
And that became a big problem because he went on to say that Christine made him promise that he would not marry somebody else without kissing them first, which seems like an odd request to be coming from one of the wives when none of them...
Yeah.
I mean, maybe Mary did, but the other ones did not out of respect for him being a married man.
Right.
So, but he's insistent, and she flat out says no. That is not. She never said that.
Right. So again, revisionist history, or him changing the narrative to fit
the
bill, or you know, Well, I mean, I don't know that can be
the
book
of lies.
Because if it didn't happen on TV, then you know we have no way to check it unless there's some background footage somewhere, you know, recorded that, you know, was said.
True.
So, see Robin have her official second cry, and it is because they are discussing the kiss, the engagement and the kiss, and basically they're sitting on the couch, all five of them, and Christine talks about how upset she was about the kiss, and then that's when Robin starts crying for the third official cry. Third? Where was the second one? I don't know, but this is the third cry. There was a second, this is now the third.
No, you just said
I said second cry. So where am I here? Christine, Rob. Oh, here. Robin's second cry because she never wanted to break Christine's heart. That was not her goal.
Right.
And it broke her heart that it
that
hurt
she
Christine
broke Christine's
so
heart.
Bad.
Maybe she didn't
Besides,
know about
Besides, it was
the
Cody's
plan.
Fault.
Right.
Right.
But again, I can understand her feeling guilty because of something, even when she maybe didn't know that was like what was said or whatever.
Right.
But to feel guilty, like I'm coming in and I already hurt somebody's feelings.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that Robin changed over time. I do not think at this point, you know, you've been talking about, did she come in with this diabolical plan?
Yeah.
I definitely don't
think she did.
No, I think she wanted that whole big family.
Yeah.
And she saw the good in this extended huge group of people that all cared and loved and took care, you know, and took concern over one another. And over time, I think she just got beaten down because let's be honest, you know that Cody was going home and just harping about the other ones and what was going wrong and his kids and all of these things to her. And she just had to suck it up. No wonder. She's like, it would be like somebody sucking up all those little poor, unfortunate souls of Ursula's. If you had all of those inside you, wouldn't you feel like
right?
just disgusting?
Right.
In pain.
In need. All right. So it's so romantic. I just had to throw that in there. Christine thinks that he's going to see Robin too much at this point. But we know that this is the moving episode, and I think they're going at that point to kind of get her prepared for the move. Christine is 3 weeks from her due date. She had had a miscarriage 1 year before she got preggo with Truly, so this is a little bit of a rainbow baby situation there.
Which probably makes her even more emotional than just right. regular hormones, because then she's got the mental emotionalness, right. too, of the right. rainbow baby. And
yeah. we do have Robin's 30th birthday party, and it was just noted that Mary gave her a friendship necklace for a birthday gift. Mary is talking about, though, in a side interview, walking away from Cody, that this is bothering her so much that she's thinking about walking away, but she's going to stick around for Mariah. I'm like, you just gave her a friendship necklace. You're the one who pushed Cody and Robin mm-hmm. together. And then in a side interview, you're going to say that you were thinking about leaving, but you're only going to stay for Mariah.
I wonder. What? But this is where I start to wonder if Mary thought, if I get him this shiny new
yep.
wife, right. will he then, again, take favor on me? And yep. now I'll be like the second favorite because I brought
yeah, her Yeah, I don't in, know.
And so I'll be back in favor. So
I don't know.
That it's she was trying weird. To provide something to make him happy.
Yeah.
She was the bigger, better Rice Krispie treat.
Hey. But Cody likes Robin's turkey better than her Rice Krispie turkey.
Yeah, she likes...
No,
than her actual turkey.
Because, I don't know about the Rice
Krispie.
Mary always made the real turkey yes. until Robin came. So apparently he likes Robin's turkey right. better than her turkey.
But then she makes the comment, which all of this is so funny and I love it. But she makes the comment, mine's sweet, hers is savory. And again, yeah. I know the analogy right. she's right. making, but she had made the Rice Krispie turkey.
Yeah,
right. And right. he signed up to like everybody's turkey.
Yeah, right. Which I thought was funny. And then Christine's reaction to that was really funny too.
Oh, it was so funny.
I think it's funny that they all are seeing the humor and the wit of each other yeah. now that they're seeing these yeah. things and how they probably all could have supported each other so well.
Right.
But they were being pitted against each other, right. I think, on the back end.
Right.
I think
yeah. he was which is why I really think that, you know, the master villain in all of this is Cody.
Mm-hmm. I think that
and
he 100% is.
I don't 100%, you know, and again, we're going to keep watching and growing in all of this, but I don't 100% want to pit him as the bad guy because I don't think any of it happened on purpose. I think he was happy with his wives. I think he was happy with his family. He was happy with his kids. And I understand that everybody needs some loving sometimes, but Christine is 9 months pregnant right now.
Right.
And Truly was not an oops.
Now is not the time that she's going to be getting the loving.
You know, at 9 months well, pregnant. Well, no. But what I'm saying is that she had to get
she
pregnant.
Needs
that.
And she had a miscarriage some 1 year
before.
Yeah.
Right.
There had been loving. They had at least, hanky-panky'd at least twice in the last year to make that happen.
Right.
And
chances are it wouldn't have been only twice.
She was the one that was most hurt and worried about being replaced,
because she was with the
because
most.
Because she was the one that was getting probably most of the hanky-panky.
But the thing is again, looking at current day and current Cody.
Well, we know
Cody,
it wasn't happening with
Cody says he never was attracted to Christine. He never loved her. And here, let me tell you this.
But
I
think he's saying that just because he is so
well,
hurt.
Well, it is. It's, well,
so
I don't know about
he's
her,
doing it to lash
revision,
back.
It's revisionist history again. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, I was in a first marriage where we did not have love in two very often. And it was a sad place for me to be in because I always felt inadequate and I always felt less than. And I'm sitting here wondering, from what I know about men,
yeah,
sex is important to them. They, you know, statistics show that they think about sex very often.
Right.
Daily. That's
right.
That's just a dude thing.
They would be okay if it happened every day more than one time.
Right. And I do understand that as you get older and needs change and whatever else. And I'm sitting here thinking about my first marriage, wondering how horrible could I be, because I'm blaming myself.
Right.
How horrible could I be because, you know, even, you know, to my knowledge, it wasn't happening anywhere else. Right. And I was like, he's willing to have nothing. instead of even how bad I am. Like, that's how bad I am, is that he'd rather have nothing. I'm like, wow. You know, so thinking about those things that run through my head, I'm sitting here thinking about their relationship, and you hear Janelle in current day talking about things were good in that department. Christine. Right,
right. They did not struggle in that area.
Exactly. Or whatever, so yeah. Even if he is a horny man, yeah. He was still able to perform. And there were several seasons where Mary's talking about, right. Should we get pregnant? We're trying to get pregnant. Should we try IVF? They can't say we've been trying to get pregnant if they haven't been trying to get pregnant.
Right, correct. Right. So even in these situations where he appears to not really be into the marriage thing to the people or whatever, he was into it enough.
Well, yeah.
It would appear, based on other conversations.
Think something.
Yeah.
You know, because again, if Christine was really that disgusting,
to where
he can go get it somewhere else, he doesn't need to get it from her.
Without having to feel guilty because he's married to these women.
So do you think this is a play to make Robin feel better in some way? Like, you know, they were just there until, you know, God sent me to you or whatever. Yeah, and no, like, I so you
maybe like
the
helps to raise
life.
Her up onto her pedestal that she's on
a
in his mind. Maybe.
I am just 100% firm in the fact that Cody was part of his religion. He wanted to do good in his religion. He had these women around him who were single in the religion. I think he liked things about certain ones. I think he liked certain aspects of Mary, Janelle,
right.
Christine. I think he liked all of those things. And I think together, I'm going to say it this way, together they made the perfect wife. And he was happy.
Sure.
But again, he's saying things physically, like I was not attracted to any of them. And
we know that wasn't true.
That's a lie.
Yeah, we absolutely know
like,
that was not true.
So, like, is him saying those things now
yes.
helping to raise Robin?
I don't think it has
whatever.
To do with that. I think he's convincing himself. Again, I think it's revisionist history because he needs to convince himself.
I mean, honestly, Robin, and the more you say it, the more you say the lie, you start to believe the lie, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Right. And again, I honestly just believe, for whatever reason, this is such a deep, passionate, soulmate love that he has for Robin. I mean, could you imagine you meet the love of your life, however it strikes you, you've met him and you are with him and you love him or her or whatever. And it's amazing. It's earth-shakingly amazing. And then tomorrow night, you got to go hang out with that person over there, which you know
is
it has
not.
Never been even close to what that was.
Mm.
But you go there out of duty.
Yeah.
And you're there overnight. And maybe she tries to just even snuggle or love, or it doesn't have to be, you know, intimate.
Yeah.
But have a wife familial, you know, familial relationship, and you are feeling this tug in your heart that like you are cheating on this other woman. You never felt that before because you have wives, you have sister wives, you're in this polygamous culture, this life. Buddy. You know that. Ooh, Buddy's got to say something.
Buddy says, yeah, talk about it.
So I just honestly, and I'm going to use the word blame just because that's what it is. But I honestly feel like Cody is just head over heels for Robin. And it is nothing like he had ever, ever, ever felt before, which is why he's looking back at what he had for those wives. And now
he's saying, it wasn't what I thought it was.
Right.
Because now I've had this other thing.
Because can't we all say that? Can't we all look at relationships and
100%.
Be like, man, I thought that relationship was the end all be all until I started
I thought that
the
relationship was great.
Or,
and then I was like, actually,
but,
it was
But
trash,
you usually don't go
right?
back and say...
But I
never
found
them
attractive.
I never found them attractive.
Or I never loved them.
Either.
It's just,
you, I mean, you
it wasn't
say,
as good
I
as I thought it was.
I now realize that what I had with them
was not...
was more infatuation. It wasn't this deep
sure.
love
but
or whatever.
But I think the biggest thing is 9 times out of 10 when all of us say that, we say it because we've broken up with them. The relationship has ended for a particular reason. And now we're either looking to the future or we're talking about how good this is versus that.
Versus
where
a relationship
he was
that you're
married.
Still in.
Yeah, right. He's still married. He's still involved with these women.
True.
Very much so. Very much so.
Yeah.
I don't know.
They hadn't decided to go separate ways. They hadn't, you know,
they
were
years
to terms
and years
or peace.
From all of that.
Right. Oh my gosh. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
So, okay. So then we've had Robin's birthday party. So now it's officially time to move Robin to Lehigh. They've rented a house that is one block away from their Lehigh polygamist house. It is 5 minutes. To get that one
way
block
better
away.
Than 5 hours.
All right. Yeah. But 5 minutes, man, we have cut that down fast. That commute is amazeballs. All right. And they made a note to say, which I don't think there was anywhere anyways, but they made a note to say that it wouldn't be proper to move her into the Biggie house yet because they weren't married yet.
Right. Not that there was a place to put her.
Right.
Right, yeah, because there was only the three apartments, because there wasn't a fourth apartment. She's going to live
in somebody's living room?
Right. Well, and I'm actually thinking, because we've seen many, side shots or whatever of that Lehigh house, right?
Yeah.
And they're like, you know, Janelle had the whole left side, which, again, was interesting that she had the whole left side, which I understand is kitchens and bedrooms.
And I think she had the most six kids, right?
Okay, but Christine had 5 kids and was just in the bottom of the right side. So she had half the space, which also included a kitchen.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it was wider on that side, maybe. Yeah. And then Mary had identical space to Christine.
I think it was because of the mix of boys versus girls.
Oh, that's possible.
It very well could be.
Because Christine had more kids that could share a room.
Let's say Christine's, I'm going to call it an apartment. She could
have 3 girls in one.
Yeah.
You know.
Let's say Christine had 3 bedrooms. So there's her bedroom, and then there's a girl's room and a boy's room.
Right.
And then you had, obviously, Mary. If she also had 3 bedrooms... that would have left the master, Mariah's room, and then a den, study, office, an extra something. Bedroom. And I'm sitting here going, well, you could have moved Robin there, but she's got 3 kids, and mm-hmm. that's problematic anyway. So that's why I thought it was just interesting, which is probably why I wrote it down, that it says it just wouldn't be proper to move her right. in. And I'm like,
mm-hmm. but it's like anyways. It wouldn't be proper, but it's also not logistically going to work. So,
so that's the point where we need a
bigger, housier
third cry. And she's crying because she just loves Madison so much. Madison's stayed with Robin to help pack that whole week after Cody went back. And Madison makes it very, very clear that she would rip a woman's hair out if she tried to be with her man. She will not be a polygamist. She is monogamous.
And she held true to that into her adulthood and into her marriage. She sure did. Right? With Caleb.
For sure. So this is where we learn for the very first time that Mary has master moving and packing skills. She can Tetris a moving truck like no other.
Well, and it's going to be put to the test over the years.
I mean, they've done some moving.
Poor Mary has had to
She has
do,
perfected
right?
the moving Tetris.
I think
Tetris.
She doesn't have any back trouble.
I would say physically she has moved maybe the most, followed by Janelle.
Well, yeah, because she's been around the most.
Well, no, but she was, like, moved into a house and then immediately got kicked out of that house.
Oh, yeah,
and
when
then
you
had
think
to
about
move to another place.
Flagstaff, she had, like, 3 or 4 homes. And then she had at least 2 homes in Vegas.
Oh, I
right,
thought you meant, like, just in this beginning time. Because in the beginning time of their marriage, we learned in the book, her and Cody moved a lot also from here to Wyoming to there to Montana or whatever.
Lots
of moving.
No bueno.
But yeah, but then when they got to Flagstaff, you're right. She did move quite a bit mm-hmm. there until she got the place where she
so
ended
I'm
up
glad
being
she
able
had
to settle.
Had those skills.
Yeah, because
they were needed.
They were useful.
Absolutely.
So.
So then I write down, we officially got Robin's fourth cry.
Oh, the fourth
She is crying because there's items that have been in storage for so long waiting for this moment. And she now gets to pull them out and use them.
Is it the angel
She's
figurines?
Crying for the items.
It's her Dickensian village. Oh, no, she got that for Cody. I'm sorry. It's not her Dickensian village.
No. I'm wondering if it's all the angel figures
down the road.
I don't know. I just enjoy that when Jill is introducing these cries, she goes into this fake cry voice to describe it to us. I feel like it really adds to the moment.
We're going to have to get her some peppers to rub in her eyes.
No, castor oil, she said. Castor oil.
Castor oil.
The episode closes out with Robin standing there saying, "I am here in the best part of my life."
Which, you know, honestly, at that particular moment,
for her,
it very much could have been. And at that point in time, I don't feel like there's been enough time that it's spoiled the other thing that's happening in the family. So it really probably is.
Right.
Because the other crap hasn't been messed up yet. It's still functioning, doing what it's supposed to do. And then she's here and she's closer. So that's going to make the other wives happier and the kids happier. So it really is a good moment.
There is a lot
of
stuff.
But don't worry, there's more
to
come.
In those first episodes. Yeah. And I love that we're taking on the approach where we can discuss it in the middle,
past, present, future.
As it's happening, all of it, because that's what I want to do is I'm going to hash out this ridiculousness.
That's right.
Hash it out, Mom.
Hash it out. So,
well,
watch out
for
the hash.
The next episode, whenever we get to it, is officially called Third Wife in Labor. Oh, and Tracy's got a jam going.
Sorry.
So, alarm. Third Wife in Labor. I wonder what that episode's about.
I mean, I feel like it could be clickbait. Could be clickbait. Sometimes their titles
Truly
are clickbait.
Truly's on the way.
Truly doesn't officially get bored until the 5th episode. So there. No, I'm teasing.
We don't actually know.
Ooh.
So, all right.
You'll see my little notebook here, friends. I'll just, nobody can see it because we're podcasting. I've gone through.
She went through and she has labeled the top of every notebook page of her notebook with the season, the episode number, and the episode title. Because Jill is a little extra. Mom also, for those of you who cannot see, which is all of you,
except
also has a notebook. They look like they could even be identical notebooks. That she is taking notes in, not quite as detailed and labeled as Jill's. And
it's
then
because I have an old lady brain, so I
and
gotta
then
remember
for those of you,
things.
All of you who cannot
for
see,
all our church wives.
I have zero notebooks in front of me, and I'm just doing it all by memory. So who knows what I'm gonna say?
You have the young brain. Well, maybe you're going to be the Cody of the group.
My young brain, probably. My young brain is being put to the test, and it's becoming a little bit old people
brain.
So
when she puts
in
out something that we don't agree with, we'll call her Codina.
Spoiler. Season 12, episode 7 is called Risking Arrest. Oh. What? Whoa. Season 12?
Risking Arrest in season 12.
That would be really funny. Maybe every week at the end, I'll open my book randomly and tell you season, episode, and the title and see if we can guess what it is. Like what the episode
Risking
is about.
Risking Arrest.
I wonder, that's got to be
is
them
that,
going
is
back
that when they went when they
something.
Went back for the rallies? Because they went back to some rallies at the Capitol,
it has to
right?
be when they went back to
when they were trying
to
get
Utah.
The legislation overturned, and they went back with some police families, and they were out marching with the signs and stuff.
I would say
that would be my
be
guess. Because other than that, I don't know what other risky business they've done, because Vegas doesn't give a shit about any of that. Excuse my French.
So, yeah.
Because Vegas is like, whatever, be in Vegas. You do
but
you, boo.
Next what episode, we're going to be back to the chapters. Is that what we've done?
Yeah, we're reading the first part of sorority, right? Which is where the wives are each talking.
So we're going to go part two,
sorority.
Sorority. We're going to go over the Mary and the Janelle chapters.
Wait, both of them?
Usually we did two the first time.
Yep.
Well, yeah, but
we'll try.
Okay, because I feel like these are longer sections,
that much,
but
so
maybe
if we
not.
Get there,
okay, so
we're going to read that much.
Potentially
in case we can.
Mary and Janelle.
Yeah.
And I have searched out that episode to let you know you are correct.
Woo-hoo!
It is the episode where they're pressuring Peyton to try to join them in Utah.
Yeah,
as
baby.
They go
Sister
for
Wives
the
Jeopardy.
Polygamist rally. Wow.
Oh, can
know
someone
our
make
wives.
That? Can someone make Sister Wives
Jeopardy?
Did somebody
game?
Already make that? If you did or you
wives
know it exists,
cards
can you email the
Sister
link?
Sister Wives Against Cody. That's the name of that game.
Can you email the link to the Sister Wives Jeopardy if it does exist and you know it exists? Can you email the link to, what is it? It's All Chaos.
It's All Chaos podcast at gmail.com.
That would be really great. Thank you.
Nice.
Putting it out there. All right. Let me see if I can get it. So until next time.
She's not getting it.
Wait, I'm not going to get it, am I?
It's all chaos.
No, it's not. It's all chaos.
No, right now it's all chaos.
It is all chaos. I wanted to see if I could get it.
The tagline.
Where chaos is always multiplied and never divided.
All right.
All right.
Boom, there it is.
Until
next time,
boom,
friends.
Boom, there it is.
We'll see you then.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
If your life is so chaotic, you don't remember, you've been listening to the It's All Chaos podcast.
To support Tracy, Jill, or get access to any products we've discussed on the podcast, visit our websites at officiallytracytime.com,
shopjillybean.com,
or shopthechaos.com. If you've enjoyed learning about our chaos, you can always leave a positive review on iTunes, Podbean, or wherever you download your podcasts.
And if you would like to tell us about your chaos, you can always email us at itsallchaospodcast@gmail.com, and maybe we'll read your email on the show.
And remember, when life gets chaotic, it's okay to listen to the podcast in your closet with a Starbucks eating raw cookie dough.